Take your Bibles, if you have them this morning. Find, if you would, please, the book of Galatians. If you are attending our Sunday school program and our Sunday school classes, the book of Galatians ought to be something that's familiar to you. We are going to find ourselves in this book today. It fits within the series that I have been preaching on the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you not have a Bible, should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, please feel free, if you would, to pick it up and to open it. Maybe you're seated by someone that will help you find the passage. And one of the great attributes about our church is that you're able to see in God's Word for yourself the Word of God. And I think it would be so important, especially in today's message. As we are continuing this series we started 6 weeks ago, this will be the sixth message in this series. I did skip for Friend Day, and we preached on our great friend, the Lord Jesus. But we have set aside time in our service to preach on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think the word gospel is a word that is familiar in our society, familiar in our culture. I think it's familiar inside of our churches and outside of our churches. You hear songs, secular songs, even include the gospel. You'll hear phrases like, that's the gospel truth, in the vernacular of our conversations. And so gospel is a word that has stuck in our society. In the Bible, in the New Testament, the word is used 104 times. It's used to describe the person and work of the Lord Jesus. The actual word means good news or good message. It's a heralding word. It's a word that preachers preach the gospel. It's a forth-telling word. It's an aggressive word. It's a word that's designed to capture and to grab the attention of the news that it portrays. When we're talking about the gospel, the very first message that we preached was defining and declaring the gospel. We defined the gospel as this. The gospel is Jesus Christ. It is his person, himself, and his work. You cannot separate Jesus from the gospel. You cannot separate the gospel from Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Also, not only in his person, but also in his work, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. And so the definition of the gospel is the person of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Inside that definition, or along with that definition, there was a declaration made. And the declaration was that upon receiving the gospel of Jesus, this is what brings to us standing before the Lord, or as we know it, salvation. In order for you to be saved, you must know and receive the gospel. So we preached about that. We said not only is the, we went on in our definition to talk about the personal possession of the gospel. The gospel can be something you know about. The whole world knows who Jesus is. The whole world knows his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But in order for the gospel to save you, it must be possessed by you. That means it must be received, and I'll preach about this today, but it must be in you through the person of Christ and his Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul talked about the personal possession of the gospel in his heart unto salvation. That became his horizons. We preached about that. We also preached about the attack against the gospel in churches where there is an attack to change the gospel. And Paul preached to us and taught us from the Word of God that God's gospel is the church's gospel. His gospel is our gospel, and there should be no shame in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fourth message was 21 in the gospel. We said that 21 is the age in our culture which young people go into adulthood, or which they feel free from out of their parents' authority. Even the world recognizes a legalization at, or our nation represents a legalization at 21. And Paul, knowing that the church has a right and a will to go whatever direction it wanted to go, he wanted the church to trust the gospel and to follow the gospel in our daily lives. The last week, I preached a message entitled The Hindered Gospel, where we don't want our lives as Christians to be an obstacle or to be a breaking up of the path of somebody to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this has been the foundation upon which I will build today. My friends, there is nothing more important in your life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm preaching a message today that I really am preaching for our church. I'm preaching for the souls of men and women, and I'm preaching for the future. And so today I'm preaching a message entitled, The Gospel Tomorrow. The Gospel Tomorrow. And I want you to look, if you would please, at chapter 2, verse number 1. Paul says, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. I want you to remember that word revelation. It's going to come up again. And communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, and we have some Greeks in our church today, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I need you to remember that word as well. I'm coming back to that. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Bondage is a word we're going to run into again. Verse number 5 is really our text. To whom we gave place by subjection, no we didn't, is what he's saying. No, we didn't. No, not for an hour. The truth of the gospel might, continue with you. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And I take this phrase, and I was struck by the Spirit of God to preach this to our church. Because the Apostle Paul has a deep seated concern with what is going on at the churches in Galatia. He is afraid that their today is going to mess up their tomorrow. He is afraid that what has begun in them in the gospel of Jesus is not going to be continued in and through them. He's worried for the church. He's worried that the truth of the gospel might continue. He's worried for this, not only for the people of God or the saved people, but he's also worried about this for the unsaved world. My friends, I do believe that our world is out of its mind. We're all testimony to that, right? People are broken. People are hurting. People are regretful. People are searching and looking and wondering and praying and begging and trying anything and everything they can to find something that rings with truth. Let me tell you something. The truth shall set you free. There is nothing more powerful to the human soul than truth. I have watched people try to hide the truth in their life, hide infidelity, immorality, hide deceit, hide dishonesty, try to keep it and boil it and suppress it and do whatever they can not to think about it. But all throughout their life, no matter what kind of venue they create, deep down in their soul, there is that truth that is just sitting there and gnawing and aching and pushing and wanting to be known. I'll tell you, it was a great day when I came to the truth in the Lord Jesus. And by the way, He will set you free. And our world is looking for truth. And I do believe this. I know that they want to say that people won't come to church anymore. But if you look around, our church is pretty full.
That's right.
I still believe that people have somewhere in their mind when they're hurting or when they have a need, I do think they think about the church. And there's a drawing. Some of you may have had this example before. And you don't know anywhere else to go, so they come to church. I've had people come to this church who were thinking about killing themselves, and they came to church and they heard the Lord and they knew the Lord. Or they've down to the pastor. I'll never forget a lady. She got saved. She came in. She talked to me later. She said, "Pastor, when I walked through your doors, I was broken as you could never imagine. My life was shattered in a million pieces. And I thought, I'll go to church and see what happens." There's a lot of folks out there like that. Now, here's the deal. When people come to church looking for truth, bless God, they ought to be able to hear truth. Ought to be able to hear truth. Man, you know when you hear the truth. You know truth when it is truth. You may not like truth, but you reckon it to be true. I went to the doctor this past week, and I heard truth I did not like. The doctor said, "Pastor, you're eating too much." He said, "Look at this blood sugar. What is this about?" He said, "Do you know what cholesterol is?" I said, "I don't even think about it." He said, "That's obvious." So he said, "No more sodas." Now you might as well just cut my tongue out of my body. No more pasta. No more rice. I said, "We live in South Florida. Have you ever heard of Bunny Buckner? We eat rice." No more rice. He said, "It wouldn't help or hurt you a little bit to get up and walk and run just a little bit." And you know, I didn't like it, but I knew he was telling me the truth. And all of you other unhealthy people should say amen too. I didn't like it. But you know, once you give yourself to truth, you love truth. So let me give you a little testimony. I have not had a soda in almost 2 weeks. I can barely stand up. I used to drink so much soda that I actually have packs of Coke in my office. I keep them in my bathroom where you store all your secrets. I was in there today. And I looked down and there were those Cokes, and those Cokes were praying to me. "Have one, have one." But you know what? I haven't had pasta or rice or tried to cut all that back. I put my suit pants on today. I can breathe. I feel good. I actually slept. I don't feel sluggish. I can't explain. I think I'm going to go have a Coke and celebrate. So I hated the truth. Then I gave myself to the truth. And the truth set me free. So we've got a world that has such lack of knowledge about Christ. There's holes in their heart, and they're broken, and they're burdened, and they're bearing these things. And somebody tell me how to get rid of this. Well, when they come into a church, they ought to hear truth. So let me set you the stage of what Paul's worried about here. Paul's looking at this church at Galatia, and he says, "Oh, we've got a problem. And our problem is, I don't know if they're going to be able to find truth here." And Paul had won these folks to Christ at the church of Galatia. They had had a good start. They were doing well. They were growing in the Lord. And then something happened. Some people showed up. And these people that showed up, they were called Judaizers. Say it out loud with me. 1, 2, 3. Judaizers. Jew. Yeah, they were Jews. Now, the church at Galatia, these were Roman churches, provinces of Rome, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch. You'll find these all mentioned in the book of Acts. These were churches that Paul came in and Paul preached to them the gospel of Jesus, his person, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he told them, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And he taught them and introduced them to the truth of Christ. And they, with their heart, gave themselves to Christ, and Christ redeemed them, and they're growing in the Lord. Then all of a sudden, some Jews show up. And the Jews, they didn't believe in Christ. The way they were trying to find salvation was by keeping the law or obeying the Mosaic law. So they show up in this church over here and they say, wait. It's okay if you want to believe in Jesus. You can believe in Jesus, but you also have to obey the law. You can love Jesus and you can believe in him, but you also have to, in order to be saved, you also have to do good works. You also have to wear your clothes like this. You have to dress like this. You have to say this. You have to obey all of these laws. It's okay to believe, but you've also got to mix in some works here so you can be saved. Now, the evidence of that obedience to the Mosaic covenant was circumcision. Pastor, are you talking about the same circumcision when the little boy and... Yeah. Do you know how that came about? Do you know why they do that? Because God, all the way back in the beginning of the nation of Israel, God told every male Jew that was born that they were to perform that act in his flesh. Why? Because that act in their flesh set them apart as a sacred people unto the Lord, or it was a sign and an identification to the Jew being God's chosen special people. It did not bring about righteousness to them. It didn't make them Christians. It didn't make them holy. It was just a sign in the flesh that no other nation had, and God was identifying them as a special people. But the Jews, they wanted to say that in order for you to be saved, you have to obey this Mosaic law, and you've got to have this act done in your flesh. And so this has moved in to the local church. And Paul begins to hear the preaching coming from this church. And what the preaching had done, to bring it into our vernacular, is the preaching began to mix religion and faith together and began to preach a gospel about that. Now let's talk about religion. Let's be real clear that you understand something. Religion is not of God. Nobody goes to heaven because they are religious. That guy got religion. No, he didn't. Well, he thinks him to be so religious. No, we don't. Here's religion. Religion puts all of the focus of righteousness on you. And so religion says, do this, don't do this, and therefore you will be right with God or you'll have salvation. Religion is kind of man's effort to poke up there and say, hey, God, I eat right, I dress right, I talk right, I don't do all these things, I've been faithful to you, I've given money, blah, 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 I've been religious, therefore somehow and give me eternal life. Listen, if you're trusting religion, you're not going to be in heaven. The broad road will lead you to destruction. Okay? So the Jews tried to come into churches like ours, and they tried to change the message of the gospel from a pure gospel of the Lord to man's effort. Now, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, let me just kind of help you a little bit with your thought process. Everybody in the world has problems. Everybody. If you knew my life, I have problems. I'll tell you about Beverly's problems, but I won't tell you about mine. But we all have problems. And I know enough to know that I cannot fix my problems. I can't fix my problems. And every time I try to fix my problem or think I got my problem figured out, my problem creates or evolves in some way, and I can't get a handle on my problem. And so I've realized real quick that I don't have the power per se over my life to fix my problems. And that's what religion is. Religion is this. You and I have a big problem. It's called a sin problem. And there's nothing on the earth we can do to fix our problem. Our problem must be fixed by God. And so any church that preaches you a gospel of works, belong to this church, do this or do all this, and you'll find favor with God. Listen, nobody merits favor with God. God's favor is given unmeritoriously. All right. So here's the problem. They came into churches like ours and they began to change the message. So when people came in from the outside and the preacher basically told them, you have to bring about righteousness in your life. You have to do better. Just say no. Don't you remember that little slogan for drugs? Did it keep you from doing drugs? I'm not answering that. Just say no. That was so stupid. Just say no. Don't walk on the grass. Come on. Don't touch this. Come on. Listen. So they put these trust in our own flesh and our own abilities. And people come in with problems and the preacher just says, just do better. Just make a decision. Decide. You're going to be a follower. You're going to be an imitator. You're going to walk with God. My friend, unless God changes your heart, you don't stand a chance. So those people come into churches and they hear the message of just do better, and they leave all inspired on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, they're in trouble, man. To me, that's a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is an injustice done by the pulpits of our churches. People need the gospel. So Paul says, I'm worried about the truth of the gospel continuing. What hope does the world have if it doesn't continue? Well, Pastor, what is the truth of the gospel? I got 3 points. Here they go. Number one, when you're talking about the truth of the gospel, you're talking and you're saying that the gospel of Christ is a gospel of grace. Do not forget that. The gospel of Christ is a gospel of grace. 7 times in the book of Galatians, Paul uses the word grace over and over and over and over again. So I need you to understand grace. So here we go. If I called you, Brother Irwin, Brother Jack, Nancy, now I'm coming after you. To stand up, come up here, and give a biblical definition of grace. You claim the name of Christ. Can you give a definition of grace? I need every Christian to allow a definition of grace to develop in your mind. Grace. Pastor, help me with the definition of grace. I would submit to you this. If you can't define it, how do you know you have it? Right. See, we just believe everything that the people say, but we don't necessarily understand what we believe. What is grace? If the gospel of Christ is a gospel of grace, then you better know what grace is, my friends. So if you're here without Christ, let me tell you what grace is. The Greek word is the word charis. It carries with it as a very simple and profound definition of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, which means that favor was bestowed upon you in spite of you. It's opposite of mercy. Mercy is you're going 100 miles an hour at a 50 mile an hour speed limit, and the police pull you over and you don't get a ticket. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You understand that? Mercy, not getting what I deserve. Grace, getting what I don't deserve. Mercy, I deserve a ticket, but I didn't get one. Amen. Grace. I deserve to go to hell, but I don't have to go. Grace. Unmerited favor. I don't deserve what I'm getting. Mercy. I deserve what I'm not getting. So Paul has come to a church where the message now has been preached about do, and law, and obedience and all of this. And Paul says, wait just a minute. The gospel's not about religion. The gospel's not about that. The gospel's about grace. What is grace? Grace is an action or a manner that comes from the heart. It's an action or a manner that comes with kindness from the heart of somebody bestowed upon a life that reflects, that is reflected in a life that has received that grace. So grace is an act of kindness or a measure of graciousness that comes from the heart bestowed and available to someone. If you understand that, say amen. So how did God provide grace for you? My friend, God loves you like no one else loves you. From the heart of God came the person of Jesus Christ. It was the heart of God that sent his son, who has been forever with him at the right hand, sent him to become a man. God did that. An act of grace to us, an act of kindness to us. Man took us into sin, a man had to take us out. There was only one man that could do that, Jesus Christ. So out of the heart of God came Jesus. Out of the heart of God, he died on that cross, buried in that tomb. And hallelujah, out of the heart of God, he resurrected for our life. So God has bestowed grace to you from his heart. Not because you or I deserve it, just because he is awesome. Okay. Now Paul's got this church over here and they're getting ready to preach. Well, the way you earn heaven is because you deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's an act of grace. Paul would talk about that in his testimony. What is truth? What is the truth of the gospel? The gospel of Christ is a gospel of grace. Number two, it is to be received by faith. It is to be received by faith. And we find this all throughout the book of Galatians. It's mentioned, the word faith is mentioned 22 times in the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the way in which you receive the grace. Remember the definition of grace. Act or manner of graciousness bestowed from the heart upon an object or upon life. The evidence that that grace has had effect is the reception of that. Is the reception. You must receive God's wonderful grace by faith in order to be saved. I want to ask you a question. When did you formally, by faith, receive the grace of God to your salvation? Well, Pastor, I've just always been saved. No, you haven't. Well, Pastor, my mom told me, you better have a lot more than your mom told you. Well, my wife told me, double more. When did you formally receive by faith the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, Pastor, God's just going to save us all anyway. No, my friend. God has made salvation available to all, but the Bible says that salvation comes through receiving the grace of God by faith. Amen. I can prove it to you. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse number 22. But the scripture hath concluded, all are under sin, all humanity, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what, class? But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, verse number 26, let's read out loud together, everybody. 1, 2, 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Again, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become a child of the living God? By faith. Well, Pastor, we're all God's children. No, we're not. That's not in the Bible. You were created by God and God loves you, but you're not God's child unless you're born into his family. And the way you're born into his family is by faith. Amen. This is why, stay with me. I need just a couple minutes. I'm gonna pull this all together and you're gonna go, Pastor gets a paycheck this week. He did a good job. Pastor, are you telling me that I don't have to do anything to be saved? I'm telling you that everything that you needed done to be saved has been done by Jesus Christ. You must believe and trust him. The truth of the gospel that must continue in churches like ours. The truth of the gospel that must continue in pulpits like this. Is that it's a gospel of grace that must be received by faith. Or what else hope do you have? The drunkard can't stop drinking by himself. The pervert can't stop being a pervert by himself. The pride doesn't go away by itself. You can't move within your soul and take out the bitterness and the burdens and the anger and the hatred and all of that animosity that is within you. And so people are flocking into churches and the pastor stands up and says, just do better. You might as well tell them, we can't help you. You came in damned and you're going out damned. Well, I got news for you. My sin may have damned me, but my Savior saves me. Amen. It has to go like this. It has to continue like this, or there's going to be no hope. Pastor, it just can't be that simple. Oh, I was hoping you would ask. I prayed and asked the Lord that you would think that. So go, if you would, to chapter 1, verse number 11. But I certify you. I just had a memory flash. That's so funny. Have you seen that commercial for that pizza? Smokeified, certified. Have you seen that? Big old black guy on there. And I think it's Little Caesar. They got this smokehouse pizza with all this meat. Smokeified, certified. I'm going to ask that guy to come preach for us one day. I love to hear that. So here's what Paul says. I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of, say his name, Jesus Christ. Paul says, I know you're going to think that this gospel is too simple or this gospel is whatever. He's telling you, but this didn't come from me. The gospel I am preaching to you has come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus wants you to know that his gospel is a gospel of grace. Otherwise, you would not stand a chance. It must be received by faith. And upon that reception of faith, he will forgive you of your sin. He will move into your heart and into your life. He will change you forever and make you his child. The last point is, it'll be reflected in your life. See, the definition was the gracious act or manner from the heart of the giver that will reflect in the life of the receiver. when I receive the gospel of Christ, this gospel of grace, when I receive it by faith, it comes into my life and it changes my life. And the truth sets me free. Church, I'm done. You can close your Bible. It is imperative that the truth of the gospel continue with us. If you agree with that, would you please say amen? Amen. I cannot be the only one to believe this. I cannot be the only man to care about this. I cannot be the only spiritual leader to care about this. We as the people of God must always make sure that the truth of the gospel is preached inside this church. Because there are people here today that if they died without Christ, they would be in trouble. There are people that have come today with burdens and issues and looking for truth. They don't need some man to put on a good show. They need for this book to be preached with the power of God, with the availability of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do a work in their life. And they need Christ. It must continue with us. Or how will your children be saved? How will your grandchildren be saved? What else do we have to offer the world? They're doing the best they can. If they come in here and we tell them do better or just say no or reform yourself, it takes the power of the living God. Now, I want to talk to the people for 2 seconds, and you're not a Christian. You have never by faith put all of your trust upon the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Different types. Sometimes this could be the first time you've ever heard a message like this. If this is the first time you ever heard a message like this, you need to understand that you're a sinner. You were born as a sinner, just like I was. God loves you. And God wants to save you from the consequence of that sin. And God wants to redeem you. You don't have to go out here and do all this. He's already done everything. You've got to believe him by faith and be willing to receive him as the Lord and Savior. He'll come in your heart and he'll forgive you of your sin and he will bring to you his life, and his life is amazing. Let me talk to the so-called Christian out here where you're Christian by profession, but the Christian world doesn't make sense to you. Pastor, I'm kind of frustrated because I'm doing the best I can. I've been a Christian a long time, and I'm stinking doing the best I can, and I'm just frustrated. Yeah. Let's make sure you understand grace. You did not save yourself, and you will not keep yourself.
That's right.
Okay? The definition of grace, that kind act of measure from the heart, placed upon an object or a life, reflected in that as it has been received. If you know Christ and he lives in you, he should be shining through you. There's no perfect perfection as far as we're going to sin. But if you say you know Christ, then you know his nature. Your hands are his hands. Your heart is his heart. Your mind is his mind. He consumes you. I just can't get over, Pastor, how I'm doing the best I can and I just never know peace. You read the Bible in the New Testament. Wherever you find the word peace, a lot of times you'll find one word before it. Grace. Grace and peace. You will never find peace and grace. There will be no peace without the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Aren't you glad to be saved? Aren't you glad to know the truth? And the truth will set you free. Shall we pray?